Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. This is Melissa Enoch-DeBerry with Talk with Trinity, a show that is dedicated to the education, enrichment, and enlightenment of all individuals. My name is Melissa Enoch-DeBerry. This show is sponsored by Trinity Counseling Services, Charlotte and Burlington, 1801 North Tryon Street, Suite 311B, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28206, and Burlington, 508 Holly Hill Lane, Suite 102E, Burlington, North Carolina, 27215. Our phone numbers are 704-333-2446 and 636-675-0075. We just want to give honor to our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. We just want to thank you, God, for allowing us to wake this morning. Thank you for keeping us safe in our travels. And we just want to say thank you for continuing to bless us in every day that we wake up and with a mission on our mind. And dear Heavenly Father, as we go through this lesson this morning and throughout the month of May, which is Mental Health Month, we just pray right now, dear Heavenly Father, as you go through the airways, you go through the internet, you go through the phones, and you let everybody know that you are still able to take care of and provide for every aspect of our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. All righty, let's see. Housekeeping things. Always excited when I'm on the air. I was at a prevention conference, the 12th annual prevention conference hosted by Families in Action. And I learned a lot of things in the last couple of days. I was there Tuesday and Wednesday. I will have some gratitude for being able to go. When you run a small business, when you run a business, people think automatically that you have a lot of money. However, Trinity Counseling Services is a private, for-profit substance abuse facility that works primarily with individuals who have gotten into some type of trouble or have some type of issue with alcohol and other drugs. And if anyone knows anything about alcoholism and addiction, sometimes that takes money. And so people want help for their services. They want help to alleviate the situation that they found themselves in. However, they may not have the finances to do so. But the Trinity Counseling Services, for the past 11 years, since 2005, has opened and closed and opened its doors and maintained its doors strictly on that have been taken in by clients. And so we keep our prices really low. We don't try to, you know, cause anybody any undue financial stress that they're already under. And so we keep those things, the prices fairly low. So that doesn't afford us the opportunity to travel very much, nor to be able to go to very many trainings. And so we had the opportunity to go to the prevention conference and to stay there overnight and to interact with other individuals. I did so. My mother came down. My two daughters were there, and it was really a good, really early Mother's Day present. I got to spend time with my mother. She got to spend time with her grandkids, and I learned to boot. So that was really exciting. You can Google that, the 12th Annual North Carolina Prevention Conference hosted by Families in Action, and they had some really good topics that I thought. There was an individual there. I forgot his name, but he works with an organization called SAM, which is, I think, Smart Action Marijuana or something to that effect. And it was really interesting what he shared about that, because there is a push in legislation to make marijuana a legal drug or legal substance similar to alcohol and tobacco. And so his presentation was based on, we see what happened with alcohol and tobacco, and marijuana will go that way just because it becomes legalized will not remove any of the problems that people are foreseeing. In particular, incarceration, similar to if you maintain a, if you're found within a certain amount of radius of a dispensary in, say, Colorado, some of the places where they're doing medical marijuana and some of the other things, if you find yourself in the general vicinity of those areas, you can't operate, you can't grow, you can't have your own personal. So, and if you do, it's against the law. Whatever laws, whatever legalities think that many people are believing that it's going to happen as a result of the change in marijuana laws, is not going to be necessarily true. And the other most important thing is that he highlighted the fact that there's a financial benefit to legalizing marijuana. There are some rogue individuals who have caught wind, and are pretty intelligent, and they're presenting what will be the benefits and the liabilities to the populations that are really promoting it. He even went so far as to say that some of the things we're seeing on the internet that are going viral, and people are being satisfied with that little amount of money to almost promote whatever it is that the agenda is a cheaper way than, say, maybe marketing differently. So it's all a game, pretty much. And as a drug and alcohol counselor, I've been so for the past 22 years. I find it very interesting. I tell my clients, just because they make something legal doesn't mean that it's not going to cause problems. And just because it's, you know, it grows naturally, I always use the analogy, you never see a bird eat a red berry. It's a red berry. Why? Because the red berry is harmful to the bird. So the bird is not going to be like, yes, that's what I'm going to eat, irregardless of how hungry he's going to be. He'll bang his head against a tree like a woodpecker, or he'll throw his head down in the dirt before he succumbs to eating something that he knows that as soon as he eats it makes him sick. And that's what individuals, if you ingest any type of substance and it makes you sick, then right there, there's your key that it's not good for you. So you probably don't need to do it again. But nevertheless, that was what I learned on yesterday, and I was really fortunate to have that, along with some other research-related and community-related, some of the other aspects of what we do. But May is Mental Health Month. We're going to focus on mental health, different types of diagnoses that are classified as mental health diagnoses, discuss the treatment of mental health in the community, and we're going to find resources throughout the community. We are here every Thursday, 8 to 8:30. We're going to invite different speakers throughout the month. So next week we'll hear from someone, perhaps mental health and veterans. The third week we'll hear from LaTanya Summers again. I basically have dedicated every third Thursday to her, and we banter back and forth about different projects that they have going on at Life Skills. I'm not a selfish individual. I encourage people to call in 347-945-5924 to present anything that they have going on in their community. I find it's very helpful if we know what's available to us. We meet a lot of times, we just get on our own islands or find ourselves in our own bubbles, thinking that we are the know-alls and do-alls, and you're not. We need all the help that we can get to fight against this thing, and we need all the resources that are available. We need all hands on deck to work towards a better way of life, living life more abundantly. And, you know, the Bible says that some plant, some water, and God gives the increase. It doesn't say one plant, one water, and God gives the increase. It says some. You know, if you read the Bible, it really gives us a good idea about things that are going on. And if we see them according to the things that are going on, it says there's, in Ecclesiastes, there's nothing new under the sun. You say, well, there wasn't drugs in the Bible. Yes, it was. There was drugs in the Bible. There was alcoholism in the Bible. There was rape in the Bible. There was suicide in the Bible. There is pretty much anything that we do in human services, in life, you can find in the Bible. There wasn't homosexuality in the Bible. Yes, there was. Sodom and Gomorrah was one city, and that's just one. That's, there are much, many more, but that's the one that everybody knows, Sodom and Gomorrah, and the scriptures that read that. But you got to read it through the current eyes from things in the past, and once you do that, then you see, goodness, it was a lot of stuff that was going on in the Bible. Had no idea. You say, well, where do we find mental health in the Bible? It's real easy to find it, but you have to break down the different aspects of mental health or the different aspects of the diagnosis. We can mention that if you look at the Diagnostic Statistical Manual number 5, it has headings for mental health diagnosis. It has mood disorders, anxiety disorders, obsessive compulsive disorders, antisocial disorders, personality disorders, substance use disorders, childhood related disorders, and not having the book in front of me, having a hard time reciting all of them. I primarily work with individuals within Trinity Counseling Services who have substance use disorders. However, in talking to them and doing their assessments, we've mentioned that before in prior broadcast, when you talk to someone and you ask them, so what was going on with you when you were much younger, and then they'll share different things that were happening. If we take ourselves back to when they began to have the symptoms, then many will have different diagnoses that will appear, such as attention deficit disorder, childhood, not just adult onset. They will have some aspects of depression, the mood disorders, maybe even personality disorders. You know, a lot of times when they share, you know, when imaginary friends goes into adolescence, that may be some considerations of some schizophrenia, some type of that disorder. And then if someone has experienced some type of traumatic event, young or old, then that's post-traumatic stress disorder, and depending on how they dealt with it, they may have picked up drugs and alcohol to answer the issue, and then the drug and alcohol, the substance use disorder grew, and it may have hidden the other diagnoses that would have came first, and once the drug and alcohol goes away, then that didn't ever go away. It grew, it just grew more silently, and so when you talk to individuals about those things, you have to ask. And I use different analogies in looking at mental health, and one of them is opening of doors. And, you know, the Bible does speak about the spirit comes out and it goes and it returns, seeking a clean home 7 times stronger. And, you know, in your reading it says, well, you know, God created us, so he knows. He knew every aspect of us. He knows every aspect of us. He created us. He knew what we were going to go through. He knew how it was going to be received. And then Jesus died to save us from sin. And then the Holy Spirit was left behind to assist us. So if we had a door that was open to some type of mental health, not through genetics, say, but through environmental, you know, then the Bible does say what it says about the different mental health diagnoses, and then it tells what to do with it. And so you do see that in the Bible, and you do have an answer to it, with the end of it all being, and Jesus died to save us. And so what does the Bible say about mental health? Well, there are several. Philippians 4:6-7 says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Do not be anxious about anything. It goes on to say in 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. That is speaking about the anxiety disorder, that you become nervous or anxious, you know, panic, on those things, and that's the mention of that. And how do you deal with that? It says, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. So that means you have to identify whatever it is that is causing you the anxiety. You have to talk to God about it, and He says that He will help you through that. And then He says, well, how will He help you? Well, John 14:27 says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Some people get nervous in speaking in crowds and in groups and become reliant on others, relying on medication or relying on things. That was the other thing that we were watching, a young person and I'm got to do a presentation in front of the group and taking pills, which is they say that's the gateway now, to youth. And the taking of those pills, getting it from their friends, because there are children that are diagnosed with attention issues. And then they say, well, when I take this, I calm down. But that's coded for them. It's not coded for you. And so when they get nervous and they introduce themselves to taking those pills, everything that they have going for them goes away because that pill might counteract with some other aspect of them. They haven't been seen by a doctor. They haven't had their blood taken. They don't know how that's going to affect their heart. They don't know any of those things. And then here they are dead or in a worse state because of the experimentation, which, you know, they believe that it had a benefit because the kids say, well, you know, and they know their friends. You know, young people know their friends and adults know each other. And, and unfortunately, if you talk to me before I've had coffee, it's just like, why are you even talking to me? But if you talk to me after I've had coffee, I'm a much different person. Same thing with, I always tell my clients, and I once you identify your own issues, that's so important. So I tell clients that I'm really a very shy, introverted individual. However, I found myself in a career that requires me to be outgoing and extroverted, and in that that's not my original state. I have difficulties in interacting, and so it creates different anxieties. And when that happens, how do I treat it? Well, once upon a time, I treated it with the use of marijuana, medicinally using it, as I said, to calm me down, help me to focus, knew the amount of time that I needed, knew the amount that I needed to take. And if I did that with the marijuana, I imagine that other people do that with whatever else they do, whether it be alcohol or pills or, you know, drugs, whatever the symptom is, then it's treated with whatever. And then it works. And so quite naturally, if you do something, you treat it and it works, then you'll do it again. And then once your tolerance builds, if your tolerance builds and it continues to work, then there you are. You're having to do more of it. And then the cycle starts when the original diagnosis was, for me, anxiety. However, when you're from a family that doesn't believe in that, or that's not even an issue, you know, at home, my mother always just kind of allowed me to do things and just kind of figured out that it would all work out anyway. I've seen her to get upset about things and get anxious about things, but only really, really important things and not just day-to-day things. And so, if you know, the house gets clean, it gets clean, but she's not going to lose it if it doesn't get clean in a timely manner. You know, it's going to happen. You know, same thing with just kind of putting on clothes. And I've noticed that my mother, you know, even in her anxious aspect, a lot of stuff she does is really stable and really secure. And I, you know, she doesn't have any physical symptoms or physical effects as a result of it. It's just, she kind of just lives like that. But, you know, when you start to do something and it works, when the original thing is, if she had said, well, you know, my daughter, you know, has anxiety, then here's medication. I just don't know where I would be now. The other aspect of mental health inside of the, within the Bible, when you have these concerns or when you become depressed, here's one. In Philippians 4 and 8, it says, finally, brother, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Think about when individuals become depressed about things that are going on in their lives and they're not knowing what to do or how to focus or how to make it. It just says that don't even think about that stuff. Think about the true things. You know, I'm alive. I'm awake. You know, the honorable things. You know, my daughter's in school and trying to do my best to take care of them or whatever is just, you know, the right thing, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely. And if you think on these things, then you the things that will make you depressed, the things that will sadden you, will go away. And so, but individuals in depression, you know, they say, well, if it goes on for a certain period of time, you go to your doctor, you know, I've been experiencing things for 6 months, and then, you know, here goes some medicine to kind of help you, but when you listen to all of the medical things on TV, you know, it says, you know, this is how I present it. It says, well, you know, are you depressed? Are you unable to interact with your friends? If so, this medicine will help, blah, blah, blah. And then you'll see the quick turnaround. They'll tell you that that might work immediately, and it might take a month, and it might take 3 months. I'll tell you that. And then at the end of it, it tells all of the side effects. And if you hear the side effects as 7 times stronger coming back, you know, the spirit went out to deal with the depression. You know, the depression still was there. Whatever was making you depressed didn't go away. And then when all the other symptoms come back, it comes back stronger because you never really treated, you never cleaned the house, you never figured out, you never thought of the things that were true or just or honorable or any of those things. Let's see. There is a scripture in the Bible and it describes a madman who he was in a cave and he's scratching himself and he was doing all those different things. I'm going to liken that to someone that is schizophrenia, you know, talking out of his mind and things like that. And when he did that, it was the spirits that was inside of him, you know, they cast him out and they were like, please don't cast us out and don't let us just leave. Please at least send us into the pig. And so that's what happened. So those spirits went into the pig, and it was spirits, plural, not spirits, singular. And so that describes that there might be individuals that are experiencing some type of psychosis. And it's saying that it really represents having four more legions of spirits within. And it could come from a combination of things, come from genetics, come from blood, come from the fact that something tragic has happened and it really didn't have any way to communicate it, or just, you know, or just different thoughts that, you know, happened in their mind. And like with those spirits, they didn't want to go. They didn't want to die. They still ended up in the pigs, and the pigs jumped off the cliff, but they didn't want to leave the individual. And a lot of times when you have a person who is under psychosis, you don't know who they are. And they don't know who they are. They know that there's a host, and then there are the rest of them. And depending on who is stronger, is the one that is generally presented. Well, if you don't know that a person has that as an issue, and you introduce drugs and alcohol into that, I always get into the discussion just because discussion with the clients that I have, and the young man that was in Florida, I always call him Faith Eater. Well, the Faith Eater had attacked a homeless person on the beach, And, you know, and then he ultimately ended up being shot and killed by the police. And they went on to describe the scene. And so the homeless person, a wound he did about 85% damage to his face and other parts of his body by biting him, said that, you know, he just kind of walked past him. He didn't know. He was like, man, maybe he had a bad day at the beach. I didn't know what that meant. And then the cops described how he had stripped himself naked, climbed up a pole, and growled. And when they did the autopsy on him, they found marijuana only. And they wanted to attribute that to the use of bath salts. And I begged to differ. And they were like, well, no, Melissa, I don't ever know nobody, you know, to be on weed to do that. And I was like, okay, whether you don't know that or not, that's one thing. I said, but if there is a drug, marijuana is considered a psychotic. If marijuana has the ability to cause a person to think that they focus more and become more creative, then that's a split in their brain. They weren't creative when they started using it. Or if they're listening to music and they can pick out different aspects of the music that no one else hears, then that's a bit of psychosis. That's a brain split. That is not different than someone that is under the influence of LSD. And so back to this man, under the influence of marijuana and attacking an individual, what they later found is he had a diagnosis of schizophrenia, but it wasn't managed, and he should have been taking medication, and his use of marijuana only made the psychosis worse. And then here goes this homeless person past him, and he just became a victim, and we had no idea. We will be looking more into mental health, more about that. But I just found it really interesting that there are scriptures that do assist us with understanding mental health in the Bible and understanding its treatment. Now, one of the disclaimers is not going to say, well, this is what you should do. Start looking at your family members funny. Start feeling like you need to treat them, because there are liabilities. You have to always mention the scripture, and it says, and it goes out seeking, and it returns seven times stronger. And I know that God has the ability to deliver us, but if we are opening and closing doors, or opening doors and not closing them behind us, we may leave that person open and available to find themselves in a worse state than they were when we started. And you do that only with education and with knowledge and with instruction. And you can't be a novice just taking off and making these identifications. Although God does have the ability to give you wisdom, does give you the ability to have discernment. He does do all of those things, but you got to just be really, really careful and really, really mindful, because you can leave a person in a worse situation than they started. I was talking with one of my interns, and, you know, they are ready to open the doors and take in clients and do all of these things, and I said, that's commendable. However, you need a little more education, a little more knowledge, a little more tact, a little more. I know that everyone would benefit from being saved, but if they're not at that point yet to identify that on their own, they themselves have to come to God for themselves. You know, they have to admit that they're powerless, which is honest. They really do have to practice steps, come to believe that a power greater than them can restore them to sanity, and they have to make a conscious decision to turn their will and their life over to the care of God if they understood him, and not because we suggest that that's the best way to go, because our paths are already set, our purpose is already created, and God does give us the wisdom and the ability to know that, but we have to go to him and ask him for the things that we need and not for the things that we as counselors believe that individuals need for themselves, even our families, even our children. So, dear Heavenly Father, in this last few seconds, we just want to thank you. We praise you right now. We continue to praise you for the wisdom, for the knowledge, and for the instruction that you give us through your word, through our daily experiences. And, Heavenly Father, as we go throughout our day, let's continue to glorify you. In Jesus' name we pray. Everyone have a blessed week. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.